While Jesus was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. He is risen. The great call of Easter. But it's the great call of the Ascension also, for Jesus has risen. He has risen up through the clouds and ascended into heaven itself. There he is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, seated in power and authority, clothed in majesty and in glory. Everything that Jesus had to do to secure our salvation has been done. And now it's time for him to depart and to be where he rightfully belongs, at the right hand of his Father on the throne of grace and glory. But he's not finished with us yet, because as we are told in Scripture, right now at this moment, he is interceding with his Father on our behalf. He's having a chat to his Father about you and about me. And not only that, he is preparing a place for us when we come home. A place that my mum and my dad and my sister and so many others I've known in my life have now taken up residence in. Jesus has ascended. He's disappeared from this world. He's gone. He has departed. Our lives are full of departings if we take a moment to think about it. Yes, maybe many of us know the departings of a loved one from this life, but there are all sorts of departings in our life. Some of the departings bring joy and happiness. Other departings in our life bring sadness and sorrow and grief. The departing from when I'd finished school was a cause of joy and happiness for me. But there are other things when I departed from the home in which I was born and went out into the world. A departing from my mother, my father, that wasn't so happy. But then came a time when I had to depart from playing sport that I dearly loved, and that was a cause of great grief for me. And maybe you've experienced departing of pet animals, budgies or fish, or whatever it may be, something that you've had dear in your heart. But our life is full of departings. And so with the departings comes a kaleidoscope of feeling and emotion. Anything from joy and happiness, from thankfulness and gratitude, to sorrow and sadness and grief. And I suppose we're just going to take a moment to pause, because today our former Pastor Ben is being installed as the pastor in Alice Springs. He's departed. He's no longer with us. And I know for a fact that that's caused a kaleidoscope of feeling and emotion among us all. We're so thankful for the time that he spent with us, so grateful for his faithful ministry to us all, so thankful to God for his kindness and his gentleness and the love that he showed us, so thankful for his faithful service in his ministry of word and sacrament to us all. Yes, we are thankful for the time Ben spent with us, and grateful for all he brought to us and gave to us in his ministry. Yet there is a sadness, isn't there? There is a sorrow that he's no longer with us, that he's gone, he's departed. But we ask God's blessing upon him as he now begins his ministry to those people in Alice Springs. And I pray that they are as blessed as we've all been because of his ministry among them. And I hope that in his ministry among them, he finds a real blessing from the people there, like the blessing he found from all of you while he was here. And I can say that because I spent time with him in his last days, and he really did appreciate all of you people and the blessings that he took with him from here. And all this says to me, you know, we are told that Jesus ascended, he disappeared through the clouds. And it was the disciples were left standing there. And they were looking up into the clouds. I wonder how they felt at that time of departing. Did they feel anything like us when the moments of departing come for us? And I'm quite surprised, because you know the only thing that the disciples felt? You all heard it. Was overwhelming joy. He's gone. He's out of here. He's disappeared. Wow, this is great. And that's exactly what they felt. I mean, there are some people in my life that, no, I'm not going there. You know, and I've often wondered why. You know, they had traveled and lived with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard him speak wonderful, wonderful words. Seen him perform awesome miracles. They'd seen the whole lot about this Jesus, who was their shepherd, who was their guide, who spoke words of wisdom, gave them words of comfort and assurance and all that. And now they're standing there at his departure, and there is nothing but absolute joy in their hearts. And I often thought, isn't that weird? And to me it seemed, until I began to understand. Do you know that according to the Gospel of St. John, and even alluded to in our text today, the last gift that Jesus gave to his disciples was when he breathed on them and gave them the Spirit. And you all know what the work of the Spirit is, don't you? The work of the Spirit is to give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge into Jesus Christ. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all the wonderful things that Jesus said. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge into all the awesome miracles he performed. That's the work of the Spirit. And so they stood there and they completely understood what had just happened. And there was no sorrow, there was no sadness. They were just overjoyed at Jesus departing from them and going away, because they understood the significance of this moment. You know that the birth of Jesus Christ still remains a great mystery to us. I mean, a virgin maiden giving birth to a little baby, how in the world does that happen? And it wasn't by some modern medical miracle or anything. How in the world did that happen? Jesus' whole life on earth began shrouded in mystery, and then so did his ascension. It was shrouded in mystery. But the disciples understood the mystery because they had been gifted the insight and wisdom of the Spirit of God. Now they understood, as Jesus was their shepherd when he was here on earth, as Jesus was their dearest friend here on earth, everything had taken on a completely new dimension. Some of us more learned theologians call this moment the moment of the great divide. When the Jesus who walked this earth became the Jesus ascended to his rightful place of power and authority at the right hand of his Father. See, what they understood now is that they no longer just had a friend on earth, a shepherd on earth. They now had a friend and a shepherd in heaven. And they understood that their shepherd and their friend on earth was only a temporal relationship. As long as life on this earth lived, as long as they were together on this earth, but now they had an eternal friend, an eternal shepherd, who was always with them because he had breathed his very life into them. He had breathed his spirit into them, and they knew that even though Jesus had departed, he hadn't abandoned them, he hadn't deserted them, and he was always with them. But now they had an eternal shepherd and friend in heaven, which meant for them, and they knew it, that their relationship with Jesus was eternal. Their friendship with Jesus was eternal. And that their shepherd, Jesus, would be there with them forever and forever to guide them through this life and to guide them safely through their own ascension when their time came to be lifted up and taken into heaven. So this was a moment of great joy for them. And the whole of this day should be of great joy to us. Yes, Jesus finally did depart. And I've often given thought, Jesus was only 33 when he departed. So why at that moment, why at that particular time, did God, our Heavenly Father, design and plan for his own Son to depart this life and enter to his rightful place at his Father's side in heaven? And I've thought about that. And I thought, well, I don't know how many of you can see it, but I'm getting older. And you ought to see what I can see from here. What if? Just think about it. What if Jesus was allowed to live a normal life and follow the normal course of life? Remember, he was fully human. Yeah, he would have grown older and aged like I am, and I can tell you, it hasn't happened yet, but they assure me I'm going to slow down at some point. And of course, if I slow down, life is going to become a little bit more difficult. But if Jesus had lived longer and longer and longer, aging would have taken its toll on him and his appearance would have had to become less and less until finally they came to an end in his normal and natural death as a human being. And where would have that left his disciples? Surely that would have shaken their faith if they'd just watched Jesus slowly age and fade away and die like everyone else. That's why the Father designed it this way. The Father designed it that just as his birth was shrouded in mystery, so his departing would be shrouded in mystery as he ascended and rose up through the clouds and went back to his Father in heaven. Now the disciples understood. Their friend Jesus, who walked the earth with them, who spoke such wonderful words to them, and they witnessed such miraculous things done by him, was now their eternal friend. They had a friend in heaven. We have a friend in heaven, people, you and I. And that friendship is never, ever going to end. Which means a time is going to come when we too will have our own ascension. When we too are lifted up and enter into the realms of heaven itself. You see, I understand what St. Paul says when his greatest desire and his greatest longing was to depart this world and be with his friend in heaven. I ache for that, and I hope you all do too. I don't know what else there's going to be in heaven. I mean, it's forever, and it's going to be a long, long, long time. But I know one thing for sure. I will never, ever tire of looking into the face of my Lord and Saviour and seeing him in all his glory. I reckon it'll take me a forever time to even start to grasp the wonder of the sight of my Lord and Saviour, my friend in heaven. See, I understood what Paul says, and my greatest desire and my greatest longing is for my own departure to come, for my own ascension to happen. But I'm not going to hurry it because I have to speak to you people who might need a little bit of encouragement. So you see, to me, all of a sudden it becomes clear why the disciples were filled with nothing but absolute great joy. They understood the significance of this moment, that they now had a friend in heaven who was always with them, even in their walk on this earth, and a friend who was up there interceding to his Father on their behalf, as he is on our behalf, who was up there preparing a room for them when they finally had their own ascension and come home. And so it gives me great comfort to know there is a room up there for me. And it's a bedroom, because I'm going to need it by the time I'm finished here on this earth. I'm already starting to feel tired and worn out. So the first place is I'm going to bed, because I got forever to walk around up there and see everything. It's all right. I don't know what that room is, but it's there. And it's there for you as well. And then once they fully comprehended what had happened there and they were filled with this great joy, what did they do? They went to exactly the place where the Gospel of St. Luke begins, the place where you now are, the house of God. They went to the temple. And there they praised God and they gave thanks to God because they understood who Jesus was. They understood what he had accomplished. They understood what he had taught. They understood the message of his miracles. They understood it all. So the first place they went was straight to the temple, and there they praised God and they worshipped God for Jesus, all he meant to them and everything he had said to them and done for them. But they especially praised God because now they had a friend and a shepherd in heaven speaking for them, preparing for their homecoming, as he's doing for each and every one of us. And so what are we doing here in a place like this? Aren't we doing the same thing? Yeah, I know that life can throw some hard things at us. I know that life can throw us some curveballs. I know that there are times of sorrow and sadness and grief in our lives. I've got all that. But don't we come here just filled with great joy? That's why we gather together, filled with great joy. And that's what I said at the start. Whatever yesterday was, whatever today is, whatever tomorrow will be, we have come here to rest in the presence of God with our hearts and our lives filled with great joy, because the Spirit of God has filled us with the same knowledge and understanding as he filled the disciples with when they were privileged and honored to behold the great ascension of our Lord. This truly is a day of celebration for us, and the celebration will continue for us, because now we have the honor and privilege of being invited by Jesus Christ, our eternal friend, to come and receive him once again in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. And surely this is a foretaste of the great banqueting feast awaiting for us in heaven. And do you know what I think the greatest thing about the banqueting feast in heaven is? Prepared and served by the angels, I will eat as much as I possibly want, and I won't have the same round figure as I have right here. There is no way, people, I can even begin to help you imagine what's waiting for you. But there is one thing that is important. You've got a friend there. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.